Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, December 18th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we had a nice day in gold today. It's a crazy market in gold and silver today. We had gold up 1470 today at 1066, had a high of 1072. Silver's up 40 cents today at 1419. Platinum is up $16 at 863. And palladium is up one at $560. USDX today, a little pressure on that, 0.34 at 98.69. Crude oil today down 29. At $34.66. Lots of pressure on the paper markets today. The Dow was down over almost 400 points, 370, over 2%, 17,127. So much for their Santa Claus rally. NASDAQ down 80 at 49.23. The S&P down 36, 2005. 10-year yield didn't move much there, 0.04. So they're not going to the bonds, 2.20%. Let's see. The euro, 0.31, you know, reflection of the dollar, 109. Germany was only down about 1.25%. Japan was down like 2%. So, interesting day in the markets,
it's kind of interesting from perspective.
Too.
You just speculate about it, and it's overly simplistic to look at it this way, probably. But if people are leaving the Dow Jones, for example, all right, odds are they're not going into bonds.
Well, they usually right? That's a quick. They usually do go to bonds first.
I understand that bonds have been having, they've been having their
issues.
Own issues, yeah, for the past a couple of weeks now, and it's become increasingly apparent like that
junk bonds.
Junk bonds in particular, but people are concerned. So it's just speculation. But if they're leaving stocks for whatever reason, and they're not going to bonds, does that explain why gold jumped $15 today? Do you think that's a contributing factor, or is that just wishful thinking?
Well, it might have something to do with it, but I think it's too short of a time frame in order to really, you know, come to any conclusion. Mm-hmm. I mean, by all means, gold is way underpriced to begin with. You know, so when we see these big moves, and again, we're going to have volatility when the system is, you know, the purging of the system and the system is beginning to break down. Yeah, you're going to see some big swings. So we'll just have to see what goes on. I think with the release of and the signing of that budget, and people see that there is no turning back on anything that's going on in Washington, and it's just going to be a spending spree for the next year or so. I think that has a little, you know, I think it opened up some eyeballs and to see exactly where this country is headed and to the dire situation, you know, that we truly are in. I was reading an article by, I don't know, some writer out of J.P. Morgan. And, you know, she talked about the five myths of why the U.S. won't default on the debt. And, I mean, it was just insane because she says there was basically, a never-ending supply of a tax source. And it's like, well, no, you can only tax people for so much. I mean, you got half of the people in the U.S. that's on that gets a check from Washington, you know, and the other half is pretty close to being tapped out as far as taxes. And then she mentioned the assets. It's like, okay, well, what tangible assets does the U.S. have? We have no proof of how much gold we have, no audits of Fort Knox. The Federal Reserve is a private corporation, so any gold that they might be holding, it's theirs, not ours. We all know that these banks, and Bob Chapman used to talk about this a lot, all these banks have leased and released all the gold, and but they still show it as an asset on their books. So, I mean, it was really kind of insane as far as her idea of why the U.S. would never default, and it only supported my belief that the U.S. will default.
Of course, it's got to default. That's one of the problems we've got. We're going to talk more about this as we get into the program. But once you get into a debt-based monetary system, the fundamental presumption is that debt is a form of wealth. Mm-hmm. All right? It used to be gold. Assets were wealth. Now it's debt as a form of wealth. And it's been that way purely since 1971 when Nixon closed the gold window and made the currency purely fiat. It is a debt-based monetary system where to be rich is to have much debt. Now, the logic of this will inevitably lead to destruction. Sooner or later, we're going to have so much debt that we can't possibly even pretend to repay it. And that time is probably even passed. We've probably passed that time, although it hasn't been noticed. If the debt is as great as economist Lawrence Kotlikoff, and the Congressional Budget Office have admitted in the past, including unfunded liabilities, if it's over $200 trillion, we're never going to pay that debt. We probably won't pay most of the existing official debt of $19 trillion. We'll be lucky to pay half of that.
How can we? Yeah.
I don't think, well, if you over a period of time, it's possible. You know, you could pull it out. You could raise the taxes and cut the spending. And over a period of 10 years, you could come up with $10 trillion. Maybe it would be austerity, though, of the same sort we see in Greece. Will the public stand for it? Probably not.
Washington
will not stand
for
together?
It. Well,
they care in this regard. They aren't really big enough to push us around. They're big enough to con us. They're big enough to deceive us, all right? But they're not big enough to really push us around. And if the American people say, we're not going to pay the bill, you ran it up, you figure out how to pay it. The government is pretty much, they are still dependent on the public's consent and assent to government programs because they don't have enough guns and military and police to really push this around. They can't really impose a police state yet. They're trying. They'd like to. They'd like to maintain that illusion. But if the American people ever get up on their hind legs, there's going to be trouble that the government cannot possibly address. So they got to con us into this, paying this debt, and I don't think they can.
Well, Congress passed. I talked about this a little bit. I was short on time yesterday with the 20 minutes. Congress passed the trillion-dollar spending bill, over trillion, almost $2 trillion.
And yeah, they're talking about two bills. I mean, I'm looking at the Washington Times, and the headline says Congress passes $1 trillion spending bill. And then in the first sentence of the article, it says Congress cleared a nearly $2 trillion package to fund the government.
Well, that's with the tax breaks, yeah.
Below, they talk about hours earlier, the House easily overcame discontent in both parties and passed the $1.1 trillion omnibus spending bill. Apparently, they've got, if we can believe the Washington Times, two separate bills were passed. One, nearly $2 trillion, the other one, a little over $1 trillion. Two separate bills. That's the implication here. The writing is not absolutely clear, but it says hours earlier, the House easily overcame discontent in both parties to pass the $1.1 trillion omnibus spending bill. That is apparently something other than the $2 trillion package they talk about in the first paragraph. So what's going on, Melody? Have they passed a $1 trillion bill, a $2 trillion bill, or a $1 trillion bill and a $2 trillion bill? Huh?
Well,
Do they care? I don't.
Hey, it's 2,000 pages. It's over 2,000 pages, and it was released Wednesday. And, there was Obama's already called Paul Ryan and thanked him for getting this done.
His soul. Thank you, Mr. Ryan, for selling your soul.
You betcha. And what a disgusting person. What a shameless. it just gets better. It's like, I just get to the point out sometimes. It's just, are you kidding me? And who is saying anything?
No one's saying anything. Why?
Right,
why can't they say anything? And why are they doing this insanity?
Yeah.
Why? I'm asking.
The only thing they can
answer?
Do.
Yeah. Why is it the only thing they can do?
They're going to get it while they can.
It's monetary system. When they create more debt, here, it says Congress cleared a nearly $2 trillion package to fund the government. Yay, we're going to fund the government. I mean, I wouldn't want anything to happen to the government. And extend popular tax breaks while increasing the federal deficit by hundreds of billions of dollars. They said this angered conservatives, even as a host of Republicans linked arms with Democrats to usher the compromise to President Obama's desk and avert a Christmastime crisis. All right? Why are they increasing the debt? And the answer is we have a debt-based monetary system. They can't explain it to the public. But debt has become a form of wealth. Up there at the top end, they get this. They understand. All right? They understand that they've got to increase the debt. They can't pay off the debt. They wipe out the debt. They wipe out the fundamental form of wealth in this country. On the other hand, if they go deeper into debt, they are creating what we are using today as a fundamental form of wealth. So, and they can't explain it to the public. Say, well, you see, the deeper we go into the debt, the richer we are. Huh? They can't explain that to the public because the public is going to say, well, if you can go deeper into debt and get richer, how about us? Can we go deeper into debt instead of buying a house for a quarter of $1 million, which I might be able to afford? Maybe I should buy a house for $500,000 or maybe $500 million. Why not? We'll go deeper into debt. We'll be wealthier. What about that, President Obama and Mr. Ryan and so on? They said, well, no, we don't want you peons. We don't want you to be going deeper into debt, but we, the government, see, we know how to handle this debt. The whole thing is madness, and it traces back to this debt-based monetary system, which we have had in a pure form since 1971 when Nixon closed the gold window and the dollar became a pure fiat currency. Now we have a pure debt-based currency. And the logic of that inevitably leads us to a kind of madness that's going to destroy the economy. And the only way we're going to get out of this, in my opinion, is we are going to return to an asset-based monetary system, which would destroy the Federal Reserve, destroy the power of the federal government, shrink the size of the federal government, plunge the whole country into a kind of chaos, at least for a couple of years before we made the adjustment. There's no way they're going to do this, except at the point of a gun. I mean, if the whole thing is going to have to collapse, then someone's going to say, well, I don't know. Maybe we could go back to gold or something. What about that? And it says it in the Constitution, and we suppose we could try it, see what happens. It's the only way you're going to get back to reason. You can't treat debt as an asset. I understand that it's a gray area, all right? But you can't sit back and say these U.S. Treasury bonds are a fundamental form of wealth as compared to gold or silver, which are assets. Got assets, you got something. Got debt, you got nothing but a promise. And the promises can't be kept. So we are caught in a bizarre situation. And this is especially difficult for the Republicans because at the top, I believe they understand what I'm talking about here. And that's why they go along with these spending programs that raise the deficit. And standard conservatives, they don't understand what I'm talking about. They don't recognize that we are in a debt-based monetary system, which means more debt equals more wealth. That's the logic of it. All right? Up at the top, I think they do. And I think that's why they promote, oh, well, let's go deeper.
I think you give a little too much credit. You know, it kind of reminds me when I worked for the savings and loans as they were, you know, ready to go belly up. It was like they just kept spending and doing what they normally did, even though everyone knew they were in a position where, you know, people were being laid off, branches were being closed. They kept doing what they had to do. And it reminds me of the same thing. It's like, well, aren't you going to change anything? No, we're just going to keep going and, you know, adjust it as like they think some sort of miracle is going to happen, that somehow it's going to fix itself. And it's almost like it gets to this point where, well, it's too big to fail. And so I'm sure there's a few at the top that, you know, really have an idea. Those that do talk about possibly having a gold-backed currency and so forth, maybe in the future. But other than those, no, I don't, you know, I just think it's status quo. I mean, they go ahead and they sign a bill without even saying, well, you know what? Maybe we ought to read it first.
No, they don't bother with that.
They don't bother.
Who do you think? You just said they had a 2,000-page bill.
Yeah, me too.
I'll pay 10 ounces of gold to anybody who can show me evidence that there is a single senator or congressman in the entire Congress who has read and understood that bill. They've enacted something they don't even understand, haven't read, don't care, just pass it, and go on and hit the lobbyists and see if you can get more money out of them. That's all that's going on here. They are brokering bills. They're not legislating. The whole thing is an abomination. It's the sort of thing that, good Lord, I mean, if this doesn't really get you talking to yourself, I don't know what will. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to remind the listeners we have 1 ounce Silver Eagles, $2.99 over spot. If that's if you want one or 100, give us a call on that. We got some great prices. We still have some quarter ounce American Gold Eagles circulating, along with the AU $5 Liberty gold pieces. Both are very good fractional gold pieces, and very good trading and bartering type material. The $5 Liberty gold piece certainly gives you that supply and demand in the price, where it can be pumped up considerably when things get difficult. And I really do see over the years, and if you go back and look at some of the historic numbers of the $20 gold pieces, like the AU $5 Liberties and the $20 gold pieces, the $10 gold pieces, they really do perform much greater in a fear-driven market, because people, you know, eliminate that paper that they're holding, and they go into gold. They buy the $20 gold pieces so that demand picks up and the supply diminishes. The collector, the true collector coins, really perform greater in a greed-driven market, because people are in the stock markets, they're getting all these big returns back, and they seek alternatives to add to their personal collections, artwork, rare, expensive coins. But the generic $20 gold pieces that we've been selling for over 20 years, they do extremely well in the fear-driven markets. And I think we're going to see a fear-driven market here in the very near future. I don't know when, but it's getting closer and closer. The day of reckoning is soon to be upon us. And as we talk about these numbers, trillions of dollars just doesn't seem to matter anymore. You know, trillions of dollars is talking about, like, what, million of dollars meant just a few years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, all these billionaires out there, hey, they weren't billionaires prior to the Great Recession. Most of them became billionaires afterwards. And so, I mean, it just goes to show it. And when we talk, when we have this currency that isn't backed by our economy, we have money that's not backed by gold, it's there's no reality to anything.
That's
out.
Right. No reality and no responsibility.
Yes, exactly.
If you have money backed by gold, here's the problem government has. They said, we can't just spin this gold out of thin air.
No.
We have to actually be responsible in the way we acquire it, in terms of taxing the public, and the way we spend it, in terms of distributing once we've received it. We have to be responsible. The government would be, I mean, if the government had to be responsible today, really, if it had to be fiscally responsible, it would shrink in size by at least 30%. You want small government, want limited government? Get gold and silver replaced as the fundamental monetary system in this country, for the basis of the monetary system. An asset-based monetary system instead of a debt-based. Debt-based, all you have to do is make a promise. Yeah, I promise to pay you $100,000. I promise to pay him. I'll promise to pay you $1 billion. What difference does it make? You know my promises. Good Boy Scouts, here's the Boy Scout sign. You can count on my promise. No, you can't. And we've got a whole system based primarily on government promises that any reasonable person looking at, they say, you know, I don't think they can keep those promises. I don't think they can pay the alleged debts. And which means our system is based on nothing tangible except a kind of dim hope that the government can somehow make good on a debt that's too great to ever be repaid. What's next, Melody?
It's just crazy. Just a couple of things I wanted to touch on in this. is truly, you know, we've had the Paris attacks. We had the California San Bernardino attacks. You have, you know, we've been having, you know, all these various situations. And in this bill, it extends funds to the sanctuary cities. It contains no language that would restrict the provision of grants to these sanctuary jurisdictions. Mm. And again, these were all the same Republicans who cried out when 5 months ago the 30-year-old Kate was shot in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Because of someone they refused to send back. It's a sanctuary city, and yet, hey, the funding continues. No cutbacks in anything.
It would be a different, it would be somewhat different if the Fed said, look, we wash our hands of it. We're not going to fund it. If you want to have a sanctuary city, have it, but
on
you pick up the tab.
Yep.
They say, no, well, let's subsidize the sanctuary cities. We'll talk about shutting them down, but in the end, we'll subsidize them.
Also, this bill will fund Obama's refugee resettlement operation that will allow for the admission of tens of thousands of refugees with access to federal benefits. I saw one report where it allows for refugees.
Just to benefit ordinary Americans.
I saw where it allows more refugees than the number of voters in Iowa.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
they're replacing one state, right, with Muslims right now.
Yep.
That's what they intend to do. And next year, they'll replace another state. And then another.
At a time.
Right? While they promise us that they're going to cut the budget, they're going to do something sensible, rational, and serve the general interest of the American people. They are liars. They are stinking, lousy liars. And you can't name anybody in the Republican Party that's not part of those lies, if only insofar as they allow them to persist. You can point out and say, oh, this, you know, I mean, there's some people up there, I'm sure, that are trying to do the right thing, but they're not blowing the whistle on the rest of the treasonous whores in the cat house. You want to be a good man? Point a finger, name and names.
But there is no language that restricts anything in the program. There's also funds all of the Mideast immigration programs that have been exploited by terrorists in recent years. I mean, it just goes on.
But they'll still try to take our guns away, won't they, Melody?
Yeah.
Promise me they'll at least they'll go along with that. We'll disarm the American people while we bring more terrorists into the country.
Senior legislative aides tells Breitbart News that Paul Ryan's bill does not do anything to change the enforcement priorities that Jay Johnson established a little over a year ago that would shield entire categories of criminal aliens from immigration law, nor does it include language recommended by Sessions and Shelby to deny the expenditure of funds to issue visas to countries that refuse to repatriate criminal aliens. I mean, it's just the H-2B foreign worker visas. Ryan's pledge not to move an immigration compromise with Obama. Tucked 700 pages into the spending bill is language that would resuscitate and expand a controversial provision to increase the H-2B visa plan. It would quadruple the number of these visas for unskilled guest workers for a total of more than $250,000. I talked about this yesterday. It includes and all the Americans who fill those types of jobs, you know, are usually society's most vulnerable. You know, the women, disabled, elderly, minority, teenagers, students. I mean, it's just like, what are they? I mean, what irritates
me? Destruction of the nation. They should be tried for treason.
You know what? Even if they would have said, well, we're going to eliminate one but pass 100. Or if we're going to say, well, but it was just nothing. It was a green light for everything.
Yeah.
With no, oh, well, sorry about that. This was a good deal. The package is done. Now we can all go to Christmas holiday.
Yeah, well, that's what's important, that the Congress and the senators be able to enjoy their Christmas, and the rest of you people that just live in this country and work here, well, to heck with you. All right? Congress is going to have a Merry Christmas. American people, they don't give a damn.
And what this, what I was reading earlier, that this bill, how it's designed by locking in Obama's refugee, immigration, and spending priorities, the bill, the way it's designed, keeps any type of fight out of Congress by getting all these issues off the table for good. And I mean,
to hell with that bill, and to hell with every congressman, senator who voted for the bill, and to hell with any president who signs the bill. It's contrary to the best interest of the American people. It is contributing to our destruction. And we're supposed to just sit back, well, if they say so. No, if we say so, how about somebody does something to make the bastards in Washington understand that it has to end? They have to do what's right for the American people, not for the effing Muslims and the effing wetbacks, but they have to do what's right for this country.
I agree. But there was one good thing in there, Al.
Yeah, like what?
Plastic microbeads that are used in soaps, body washes, and other personal care products, they're going to be phased out starting in 2017.
Oh, yippee.
Yeah, so these tiny beads are raced down the drain, discharged into lakes and rivers. And I didn't know that they use microbeads in, like, toothpastes and things like this. And these little microbeads do not dissolve. And, you know, they're all concerned about the environment, that it's been doing this for decades. But yet a lot of personal care, beauty products, facial scrubs. What has it done to the human being?
Whether it's not about human beings, it's not about the people, it's about the corporate profits.
Well,
and if the people are sacrificed, screw them. Yeah. We're talking about putting money in the pockets of major corporations that bribe congressmen with political campaign contributions to pass laws to help these corporations to make more money.
And you know what's amazing about this, Al? Even though they say how it's hurting the fish and wildlife and people, they're not going to do anything until 2017.
Yeah.
So it's we'll give you a whole year for you to come up and replace it with something else. But anyway, what's next, Al? We had a caller on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jim still there?
Yep.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, I'm so glad you picked out all the wonderful features of this spending bill. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I actually see some hope out of this. Okay, Lord Monckton stated that this Paris Climate Conference was the high water mark, that from then on it was downhill because nothing worked like they wanted to. His bills like this, which caused me to want to bite my tongue so I don't use bad words also. But let's look at it this way, okay? As it stands right now, Republicans are madder than you know what, because we sent them up there to get rid of the TSA, the NSA, Obamacare, TPP, immigration. Now, the immigration started some pushback at the state level, 10th Amendment activity. And some county sheriffs were saying, no, wait a second, we're going to do whatever we need to do here, because I'm the chief law enforcement. I think that this bill, this budget, whatever, is the a high water mark for the Washington Redcoats because people are going to look elsewhere. They have given up on the Republican Party. A friend of mine boiled it down to one sentence, this bill. He said everything they could do wrong, they did wrong. So now it's a situation where I think people are going to wash their hands. Now, the immigration issue created some pushback. The gun grabbing created some pushback. But what I'm seeing in our future, I don't know how fast it's going to happen, is that people are just going to kind of wash their hands over the Washington Redcoats. Now, I'm going to say something that makes me madder enough, and I don't know what. My parents exposed three things to me when I was a youngster 50 years ago. The Federal Reserve counterfeiting operation, false flag, military stuff, and the corporate issue. And I'm madder than you know what at the Patriot community because they will not deal with this corporate issue. If they're going to speak of the FBI, they better speak of the FBI corporation. Now, here's what it boils down to. Let's lay the groundwork. Very simple. The DEA, EPA, MSHA, OSHA, FDA, you name them, they're all private, racketeering corporations with no oversight. They should be paying corporate income taxes. They don't. They don't have a license to do business in your state. There is every reason in the world to shut them down as racketeering corporations. I've said it many times. The IRS is a private offshore, now offshore corporation. They have no more right to impose taxes than Walmart. BATF&E is a private offshore, now Puerto Rican corporation. They have no more right to sell your guns than the corner grocery store, the gas station. And the EPA is a private corporation. They have no right to shut down a power station than I have. We are dang sick and tired. People are going to wake up to all this of them passing their own laws, Administrative Procedures Act of 1946 on, and having their own trials, they call them hearings, and Department of Education guys being handed buying shotguns. So there's going to be pushback.
Yeah.
And that gives me hope.
Thank God.
It really does give me hope.
Yeah.
I think I've eaten up enough time.
All right. Alrighty. Thank you. We appreciate your
call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Jim from
Virginia. He really does have a point. You know, when these bills and stuff like that, it does wake people up, and they realize what's going on. And so I guess
it infuriates some of us at least.
Right?
I'm not really.
I get it, Al. I've been I've been reading this for 2 days, going over this bill. So I guess I've come down a little bit from my anger high. But it does. But we all know where it's headed. We all know how this is going to play out, and people really do need to get prepared.
National ruin. That's how it's going to play out.
It's
national ruin, and it's not an accident.
Not
a situation where governments say, oh, gee, we had good intentions and we're really trying to do the same thing, do the right thing. They have been engaged in trying to turn this into the North American Union. They have engaged in supporting the New World Order. There is no proviso in the Constitution for them to do any such thing. Every congressman, every senator, every president who supports the New World Order is committing treason to the Constitution of the United States. They should be charged as such, and if found guilty, hanged by the neck until dead. We're going to take a break for commercials and be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survive.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Take a deep breath, Al. How about Ukraine?
Well, that's more of the same.
Ukraine how about is, Austria?
Let's do Ukraine. We got it there on the list. You got it up. Let's Ukraine won't repay $3 billion Russia debt. Russian debt due this weekend. Ukraine won't make a $3 billion debt repayment due to Russia this weekend because Moscow refused to agree to terms already accepted by other international creditors. In other words, what they're saying is other international creditors have agreed to give Ukraine a pass and restructure the debt, say, okay, you don't have to pay us all you owe us. And therefore, because Russia will not agree to take a loss from Ukraine, all right, then they'll say, all right, then you are going to take a complete loss. If you don't want to take a partial, if you don't agree to take a partial loss, you're going to take a complete loss. How do you like that? The moratorium, it's claimed to be a moratorium, which means, in fact, they are saying, oh, we'll pay you, but not when the debt is due. We'll get to you, maybe not this weekend, but next month, or maybe next year, maybe next decade. But, you know, we'd rather owe it to you than cheat you out of it. The moratorium on outstanding debt repayments to Russia announced by Ukrainian Prime Minister Yatsenyuk effectively means that Ukraine is defaulting on the debt due Sunday. Well, gee, what a surprise. Ukraine is defaulting. Greece has been defaulting, huh? That move could jeopardize crucial loans that the Ukraine has been receiving from $17 billion bailout deal with the International Monetary Fund. I doubt if there's going to be any jeopardy there myself. After Russia refused to accept our offer, despite our attempts to reach a restructuring deal, the government is imposing the moratorium, yada, yada, yada. What all of this is another illustration of what can't be paid won't be paid. All right? That's all. Sounds simplistic, but it's actually kind of profound. They can debate the issue, the facts, and the implications for the next decade if they care to, meaning the Ukrainians and the Russians, and they can fence back and forth. But the fundamental issue is simple. Ukraine is as broke as Greece and can't pay its debts. Again, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but in an asset-based monetary system, the solution should be to file for bankruptcy and start fresh. We're overly indebted. We're bankrupt. We're sorry. We can't pay. File for bankruptcy. Start fresh. Understand? That would happen in an asset-based monetary system. However, in the global debt-based monetary system, debt is deemed to be wealth. The process of filing for bankruptcy to wipe out some of the total debt is tantamount to wiping out some of the remaining wealth.
Thus, the biggest national bankruptcies should be avoided, since bankruptcy only makes things worse by destroying some of the remaining debt instruments, rendering them invalid. You've got a bond from some corporation that says it's worth $100,000. If the corporation files for bankruptcy, your bond is worth nothing. They've got to keep the corporation and or the government from filing for bankruptcy so you can pretend that that piece of paper that says $100,000 really is worth $100,000. That lie can be perpetrated. It can be continued so long as nobody files for bankruptcy and says, oh my gosh, that piece of paper is worthless. You can expect bankruptcy laws to continue to tighten so as to prevent bankruptcy wherever possible. But resistance to bankruptcy filing will only make problems worse. In the case of the Ukraine and Greece, creditors have little choice but to nursemaid and support those countries with continuing bailout loans rather than let their economies die and force them into bankruptcy. The creditors have to give Greece more money. All right? The creditors, one way or another, they've got to bail out the Ukraine, because if they don't, Ukraine files for bankruptcy and wipes out the debt. They've said, we'll have a moratorium. We'd rather owe it to you than cheat you out of it. They're not just going to come right out and say, sorry, we're bankrupt. They're going to say, no, we're just a moratorium. See? Silly. You can count on us. Our word is, our paper is good as gold. You know, maybe not right now, but someday in the future. It's all a bunch of, given that our fundamental wealth is now deemed to be debt, the debt must be protected and even increased. I know this sounds crazy, but look at the earlier report about the government passing new financing laws just today that cut taxes and raise spending so as to increase the national debt. Republicans, conservatives are madder than heck, right? Why did they do that? Well, it's because we have a debt-based monetary system. You can't destroy the debt without destroying correlative wealth. That's the problem. In a debt-based monetary system, you pay off the debt. They don't want it paid off. They want the debt to grow. Look how rich we are. We have more debt than the neighbors. And a lot of people say, well, that's crazy talk, but how did you get your car? With debt? Did you take out an auto loan? You use debt to get your new car. How'd you get your house? It's by means of debt that you got your new house. You didn't pay for that house with assets. You got that house by agreeing to go deeply into debt. The government says, yay, we are all wealthier because people are going deeper into debt. This whole thing is based on debt, and you don't have to be you don't need a PhD in economics to understand this isn't going to work forever. It's worked for 40-some years, but nobody believes it's going to work for another 40 or 30 or 20 or 10. And probably not even 5. The system is a kind of madness, and the reason we're in the system is the same reason Greece is. Greece wanted to have its debt and eat it too, all right? Have your cake and eat it too. They wanted to live the good life. Do that Zorba dance, get down there and dance like Zorba, break a few plates, enjoy the good life, and not pay their debts. They wanted it both ways. And they still want it both ways. They are afraid of bankruptcy. They're scared to death. Oh, my gosh, if we go into bankruptcy, it won't be fun. We won't be able to break any more plates. We won't be able to dance like Zorba. And so they've refused to go into bankruptcy. And they play this game, and they'll sell the nation down the river and destroy the Greek nation. I mean, they're selling off assets, and they're selling off, I don't know if they've sold the Parthenon. I suppose they haven't. But they've sold other things. They've sold their energy systems and to private corporations. They're cutting Greece up like a turkey because the Greeks are too gutless to simply file for bankruptcy and cancel all their debts. Yes, it would cause a lot of chaos. Yes, it would be a difficult time for a couple of years. But again, look at little Iceland.
you know what's really...
They got into debt. They filed for bankruptcy. They had 18, 24 difficult months. They got through, and now they are strong.
You know what's sad about, because no one talks, we talk about the assets, we talk about the debt, and what people don't realize is the devastation that has been bestowed on the people of these countries, of the people of Greece. They're leaving Greece, businesses that have been in there three, four generations are closing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are being impacted in a way that no one talks about.
Yep.
And I think this is one of the things here in the U.S. You know, we talk about, you know, the amount of the debt. We talk about this, debt that can't be paid. I don't think people really realize how it's going to affect each and every one of them. And it will. You won't be able to escape it. It's just a matter of the degree of how it will affect you.
Yeah.
So if you're not prepared, but the people of Greece, absolutely, they would have been far better off. They'd be able to keep their businesses. Now they're getting taxed out of it. They can't pay. They can't pay their bills. You got bigger businesses, corporations moving into Greece, buying them up. You know, it won't be long before Walmart is in Greece. So
if it's not already.
If it isn't already.
That's assuming China will let it in.
They're losing so much of their things. And, you know, we talk about people being able to do things with their hands and being able to, you know, your mom and pop shops. That's what makes your country, you know.
It's
good.
Great for your nation, but it's no good for it's competition for the major corporations. They don't want it. Push them out of business. And then they'll step in and you'll be able to buy all your products from Amazon.
Yeah, and people have been conned.
The islands.
But people have been conned into thinking that buying things that are made in China is good because it's cheap. People have been conditioned to believe that quality no longer matters. It's all what
quality,
you can buy.
So domestic. You know, when we talk about quality, we need to talk not just about getting a quality product from Japan, for example. All right, they make good products. They have in the past. We need to make our own high-quality products. And if we have a low-quality product in our own country, then we have to change our country. We don't need to find a new supplier. We need to get the people that are responsible for making the particular product and make sure they understand, look, we got to amp up your game. This is, you know, you want to continue to be prosperous in this country, you have to make the effort. It can't be just a question, oh, they're not producing. We can get it cheaper. I can save $1,000 by buying these things from China. There is more that's being lost than just, you know, you make an extra buck. It's not enough. It doesn't justify what's taking place.
We have lost so much in such a gradual manner that I don't think people
really... And why have we lost it? Because we haven't filed for bankruptcy. You know, that's part of what we're talking about here. That's where we're going, at least in part. How much would the businesses of Greece, for example, be, how many businesses would be ruined if the nation simply said, look, the government said we're bankrupt, we can't pay the bills, sorry about that, we're going to have to go into whatever they do with sovereign debt. All right, we can't pay it. All right, it's going to be a difficult time, I get that, but those businesses that have been there for four or five generations are still there, they know how to work, they can tighten their belt, and they can get through. And in a couple of years, Greece can be back on its feet if it cares to be. If the people have the right mindset to be prosperous, they can be prosperous. But if they don't have the courage to file for bankruptcy, when in fact they are, and they can't possibly pay the existing debt, everybody understands this, they are bankrupt, why not call a spade a spade? Why not do the truthful thing and say, sorry, we can't pay. Now get off our backs. And we're going to have to start, and they're never going to recover their prosperity if they can't eliminate this debt, and they're not going to eliminate it by going deeper into debt by borrowing more money from the creditors right now. It just is, they are caught in a, you know, this is almost a kind of, it is a kind of insanity, and they're caught in it because they are afraid to file for bankruptcy.
File for bankruptcy, do it, be done with it. All right, get on with your life. You know, you can sit back and say the Greeks are robbing their creditors, and to some extent that's true, but they don't have any creditors that are not complicit in the Greek problem. The creditors knew or should have known that they were lending too much money to Greece, more money than Greece could ever repay. What do we call it? There's a word for it, and I can't think of the proper word, but it's an immoral debt. It's like me loaning $500 to a two-year-old kid. The kid can't repay the debt, all right? And I can't claim that child is now in bondage to me because he has a $500 debt. The debt is fundamentally immoral to begin with. Greece is guilty of taking more money than they can repay. Creditors are guilty of lending more money than Greece can repay. Who should pay? Who should be held responsible? And my argument would be both of them. Cancel the debt, be done with it, let Greece make a fresh start. Do the same thing with the United States. I know it's not going to happen, but that's where I think we should probably go. Cancel the debt and move on with your lives. Difficult, unpleasant, dangerous, risky, but it gives you a chance. You will never, never, never pay off the existing national debt. You will carry that burden on your back for the balance of your natural lives unless you have the nerve to just stand up. That's it. I'm done. Get this thing off my back. I'm done with it. I don't care what happens. It's going to be a difficult time. We'll work through it.
But in a way to protect yourself until that point arrives, folks, is, yes, gold and silver. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what any asset. Of these, I don't asset. Care asset. What Harry Dent
asset.
Says.
Asset rather than debt. Asset. Have assets rather than debt. This is going to blow up in everybody's face. The debts are going to blow up in everybody's face except for those who have some assets. Real assets, not pieces of paper.
And I don't care where any of these analysts talk like Harry Dent and so forth. This is the truth. This is what's going to happen. And Al, you said it perfectly. So, folks, give us a call. Take a look at what you have. Take a look at your portfolio and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Melody and I will be back next Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
Got me a well-being.